listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Eddie Bates. We get to head to Latin America today. We're going to Puerto Rico today and learning about life as missionaries serving in Puerto Rico. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu. Live uncommon. Joining me today, the Reverend Adam and Christine Lehman, serving the Lord in Puerto Rico. Welcome, Lehman family. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much. We're glad to be here.
In St. Louis for a reconnect, which means having an opportunity to reconnect not only with folks here at the LCMS International Center, but also some time in connecting with other people across the states as well, right?
Correct.
That's right. Yeah, we'll be here in the states for the next couple of months, reconnecting with those who have been already supporting the work that we're doing in Puerto Rico. And of course, searching for more who would be willing to ensure that the good news of the gospel goes forth in the island of Puerto Rico.
So you've been in Puerto Rico for about 3 years, is that correct? And before that, also served in a Spanish-speaking culture as well, right?
That's right. Yeah, we've been in Puerto Rico for 3 years, and before that, served as a church planter in Spain.
Very good. So not new to the mission field, but somewhat new to Puerto Rico. Tell us about how the Lord brought you into the mission field, how the Lord brought you to serve as missionaries.
Well, I had been serving as a parish pastor in Mobile, Alabama. And a friend of mine that I graduated seminary with had received a call to serve as a church planter in Latin America. And so he was doing his initial fundraising and traveling through and asked if he could stay with us for a week or two and if I could set up some congregations in the area that would be interested in hearing about the work that he was preparing to do. And he spent that whole time kind of talking to me about the possibility of doing some mission work. And we had done a couple of study abroad opportunities while we were at the SEM in South Africa and Kenya and Latvia. I wasn't exactly thinking about serving as a missionary at the time. He asked about, well, what if I just submit your name and we'll see what happens? And, you know, I guess the rest is kind of history.
Do you have the same story or is there another perspective, Christine?
It's pretty much that story. We just spent the week talking with them and we already knew them from seminary, but I think we kind of got a better chance to know them. And they were kind of talking to us about the opportunities that we're going to be giving to them. They were, you know, he had a wife and two children. And so just kind of hearing from their perspective. And so when he said, can we give your name? We said, yeah, sure. And we said, yeah, sure. Not really knowing what was going to happen or if anything was even going to come of it, because we were happy in Mobile. Mm-hmm. We were happy in our congregation and things were going well. So we weren't really expecting anything to come of it.
Just open to what the Lord might have in store.
Yeah, we just said, yeah, sure, go ahead and put our names in.
This isn't going to go anywhere.
We really didn't think so. And here we are almost 10 years later.
So in what ways are you given to serve in Puerto Rico?
So I'm a church planter. I'm serving a plant that was already there, a congregation that was already there in Ponce when I arrived. And I'm also working with a new church plant that we got started up in the capital in San Juan a little over a year ago. So that one is about an hour and a half away from my house. So I spend my time split between serving in Ponce and in the capital. And then, of course, Pastor James Neuendorf, who also lives in Ponce, he and I kind of split the responsibility of both of those.
Very good. So tell us a little bit more about those you get to serve alongside in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. So we have Pastor James Neuendorf and his wife, Deaconess Crystal. They live and serve with us in Ponce. And then Ashley Lear and Pastor Gustavo Maita and his wife, Ruth. They all live over in Mayagüez on the west coast of Puerto Rico. So we're kind of split between the team is kind of split in half between Mayagüez and Ponce. And then Pastor Gustavo also does some outreach up in the northwest side of Puerto Rico, up in Aguadilla. And then, of course, Pastor Neuendorf and I also split our time over in the capital. So everybody's serving where they live and everybody's starting something new somewhere else.
So it sounds like a very busy schedule serving in all these areas. How often are you able to meet together as a team in Puerto Rico?
So we make sure that we have at least a once a month team meeting in person where everyone's together. But we also have, when we get a Monday off, we very often turn that into an opportunity, not for a meeting, but for a time to go have a barbecue at the beach and be together. Because really, in so many ways, this mission team and these families have become family for each other. We celebrate birthdays together. We celebrate holidays together. And when we have time that we can spend together, we enjoy spending that time, time together.
Is this kind of where the third culture experience happens too? You come from one culture and you also are assimilated into another culture. And in essence, you kind of have this third culture experience, right?
Sure. It's something our kids really experience as coming from a Spanish culture to a Puerto Rican culture. And even coming back to the States sometimes is difficult for our kids, and to kind of have their little missionary community. It is like family, and it's people that understand them and know the things that they're dealing with and the things they're going through, and they can just be themselves and be comfortable. And that's really, really vital to being on the field and staying on the field.
Yeah, our youngest son, who's 13 now, he was 4 when we moved to Spain. So it's kind of interesting to me to watch when people ask, "Where are you from?" He's really not entirely sure how to answer it, because when you move to Spain when you're 4 and you spend 6 years there, so 4 to 10 in Spain, that's pretty significant chunk of life. And now 3 years in Puerto Rico. So it's kind of from everywhere and nowhere. And that's one of the unique things about growing up in mission, I think.
Mm. So tell me about some of the things you get to do day to day as a church planter. What does that look like? I know you're traveling quite a bit with multiple sites, but what is the work of a mission planter?
Yeah. So it's a lot of looking for opportunities for Bible study and getting groups together for Bible study. We have homeschool co-op that meets, and that begins with devotion and ends with chapel every Friday. On Wednesdays, I drive up to the Capitol and spend the whole day in San Juan, making myself available for those who have become members of that congregation, and to meet with people who are interested in learning more about this Lutheran confession that we share. So that whole day is kind of dedicated to outreach and connecting with people that are interested in learning more. Catechesis then at 5:30, Bible study at 6:30, time together with that group on into the evening, and get home around, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night, and then up the next morning and serve in Ponce on Thursday. So yeah, it's a pretty full schedule, but it's full of opportunities to share the reason for the hope that we have. So it's really a great privilege to serve as a church plant.
You mentioned connecting with or talking with people who are interested in learning more about this Lutheran confession. How are Lutherans perceived in the Puerto Rican culture?
Well, I think it seems to me that we're largely perceived as people who have a sacramental life that is kind of in keeping with historic Christianity. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of people in Puerto Rico who grow up with a sort of peripheral understanding of the Christian church, or grow up with maybe a grandmother who would say that she's Christian, don't necessarily have exactly a sort of church life, if you would. And those who are very serious about reading the scripture and maybe even get into a little bit of history, they quickly come to find out that they want to search for something with a little more depth. And so Lutherans kind of initially get lumped together with all those other denominations that would have some regard for the sacraments. And because of our presence on the internet, and we've got a website for the mission, people are finding us and reaching out to us and wanting to know more. And then we spend times like what I was saying on Wednesday, meeting with people and talking with them more about what it is that we confess and believe.
I want to learn more about what family life is like in Puerto Rico in just a moment as well. We'll go ahead and take a quick break right now so we can get into some good stories about that as well. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50 plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
I'm Eddie Bates. We're talking with Friends Serving the Lord in Puerto Rico today. We're talking with the Reverend Adam and Christine Lehman, learning about serving the Lord in Puerto Rico, the church plant, and all that makes up the mission in Puerto Rico. And part of that mission is family life as well. What does family life look like for a family of six? Is that right?
Correct. Yep. There's six of us. We have four children. Our daughter, Hannah, is in university and will be transferring to here in Pensacola. And then we have a 16-year-old, 15-year-old, and 13-year-old. And mainly we homeschool. Uh-huh. So I run our day-to-day life. While he's working and traveling, I am doing all the things at home. So we homeschool our children. And our two older ones are pretty independent. They do a pretty good job. And then my youngest just kind of needs help here and there. So we do our daily homeschool stuff. And then to get the kids involved and out with people, they play sports in the evening. So then when we're done with school, we do all the sporting events in the evening and we're running here and there. And then in between any kind of church events that we can attend, lots of the workshops and things like that that are happening on Saturdays in Ponce and San Juan, the outreach, we're a big part of that. I help on Fridays in Compañerismo in Ponce. I usually do the food. Either I'm making it, I'm always serving it. And then for our family as a whole, I do all of our logistics, all of our billing, the talking with the landlord, the talking with the electrician, when the toilet stops working, I call the plumber and wait for him to come. And it's a lot of waiting. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of sitting in offices and talking with different people. And
so you're the business manager.
Correct.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to get into. Each day is different. And each day you experience something you've never experienced before. So one of our things at dinner is what happened today that has never happened to you before. And so he usually shares something from his day. And then we'll share something strange or silly from our day that happened that has never happened to us before. Because it always is that way. And it was that way when we lived in Spain. There's just always something different that you've experienced that has never happened before. And it was kind of a similar process in Spain for us as well. So logistics, but there we had visas and things like that that I kept up on. But the majority of it's just daily life, and whatever you get into today is what you get done, and you try to accomplish one task a day. That's the goal. If you accomplish two, you're doing really well.
So no short supply of new experiences.
Correct. It's always something new.
That's fantastic. What about language? You served in Spain before, right. So have you found language differences from Spain to Puerto Rico?
Yes. So Spanish is very different from country to country, city to city. We had to learn new words, and Puerto Ricans will slip into English in certain words. And so sometimes if you aren't sure about the word, you can try to say it in English, and a lot of times they'll understand because they might not know the word in Spanish. In the context that they used it in Spain. And so we've spent 3 years learning new words, new phrases, and it's always good to learn new things. So we kind of have both in our back pocket now.
What's been your favorite thing about jumping into Puerto Rican culture? What's been your favorite thing about Puerto Rican culture to adopt or even just to observe?
I love Puerto Rican culture in that the people are so open and friendly and just welcoming all the time. If you say, I want to learn how to make this rice and bean dish, they will pull out their recipe or they will just show you and they'll say, come on, this is what you need. All of these things, just buy this and here's the recipe you use. They are just welcoming and making you feel at home. And not that other places aren't that way. They love food, especially. And so we like to cook as a family and make different dishes. And so we always try dishes from different places. And so one of the things we've started doing is making Puerto Rican food And so you go to try these different foods and then you start get talking with Puerto Ricans about food, which they love. It's a big event, a big meal. And they'll just tell you, oh, well, you have to try this. And then you have to try this dish. Okay, well, how do I make that? And so that they tell you all the things you need. And they're like, don't you have, this is how you buy the plantains. This is how you know when they're ripe, you know.
Okay. So what's the secret? How do you know when they're ripe?
They have to be turning a little bit and a little bit soft because the ones in the store here are green and hard. You have to give them just a little bit of time. So he's got plantain trees in the backyard and we are harvesting plantains every few months. So now we have a freezer full of plantains. So we're learning.
What has, so you've been there 3 years, so you've at least been through a whole calendar of holidays a couple of times now.
Yes.
What's favorite holiday for you, Pastor?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, Christmas is really the big, mm-hmm. big celebration time. All the special songs come out and by and large, the Christmas songs that everyone loves in Puerto Rico really have to do with the food that you eat during Christmas time, more than jingle bells and things like this. They're singing about the food that's very special to them during that Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun.
Favorite highlights from holidays?
Yeah, for me, it's Christmas. I wasn't sure that I would be ready to start celebrating Christmas November 1st all the way through January 6th, but I actually really love it because they put up all the lights and it just makes you feel, you know, I know we're in Advent. But I know we're in Advent, but I really like, you know, they really get into it and they have parades and all the different foods. You have to eat these foods during this time. And it's just lots of big gatherings of people and family. And it's just a really good connection with people.
Lots of family, lots of food.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't enjoy that?
Yeah. Everybody loves family and food.
So the language, certainly you had a good grasp on Spanish language.
Sure.
In Spain, still learning some of the local important things when it comes to speaking the language.
Right.
When moving to Ponce as well. What are some other things you've been learning since you've been in Ponce now almost 3 years?
I've been learning the how to really embrace and enjoy the idea of not being in a hurry. Mm. I'm a former Marine, so I'm a 15 minutes early, you're on time, you're late type of guy. And that does not happen in Puerto Rico. You don't live by the clock down there. And that I really have come to enjoy that a lot, to slow down, to, while at first, when you're not so worried about the schedule, that can be for a person like me, a difficult thing. But what I've come to realize is there's something kind of special about being in front of someone and having their full attention.
Mm.
And they're never going to look at their watch. They're never going to tell you, hey, I got to go. I got this other thing that I'm supposed to be doing. When you're sitting in front of them, you have their full attention. Mm. And you have all of them and they're listening and they're not in a hurry to end the conversation. That has been something that was something that went from, I don't understand this, to, wow, what an incredible one, a 30-minute appointment to have a cup of coffee with someone that is interested in learning more about what Lutherans believe. They're completely happy to have that turn into a 5-hour conversation. And I think it's fantastic. I've really come to love that.
So how's it been adjusting to that for you, Christine?
I agree with you. I think it has been an adjustment getting used to the timing of things, but also kind of embracing, like you said, there's benefits to slowing down and sitting and being in front of people, but also allowing yourself to be open and talking with other people, because Puerto Ricans love to talk. They love to talk with you and they will sit and, you know, like if I sit in a doctor's appointment, they will talk to you all day and they will ask you about your family and then they'll be curious and they'll say, well, why are you here? Oh, okay. Wow, that's really interesting. How do you like Puerto Rico? What's your favorite part about Puerto Rico? So they want to know more, and you won't get those opportunities if you're rushing in and out for a 15-minute appointment. If you don't sit in a doctor's office for 2 hours, you won't get those opportunities.
So what has been challenging about that, about adjusting to that?
You know? Adjusting your day,
yeah.
Right? So saying, if I get one thing done, I'm content with that, right? Kind of changing your perspective on it. But that takes time. And obviously, sometimes you get frustrated with the waits, but the reality is you never know what's going to happen in that day. And so if you can say, I'm going to get this one thing done today.
It might take you 6 hours.
It might take you 6 hours, but maybe you talked with somebody and the Lord is working and the Spirit is working and they want to come to the church and they come and visit.
That sounds both lovely and terrifying at the same time.
It's both.
I think you summed it up well.
I think that's true. I think it can be both.
You know, with hourly deadlines here at the station, not being able to meet those deadlines, not being able to stay on top of all those things, that would be challenging. But at the same time, being able to take another pace and be able to have conversations freely where they need to happen. That sounds really nice.
Right. Puerto Ricans are open.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah. Wow. So what's on the outlook for the coming year for the layman family and for the Lord's work in Puerto Rico?
So we're going to continue with this church plant that's continuing to grow in the metro area. We've been renting a facility for about a year. Thanks be to God, we've outgrown that place. So we're looking for a new, bigger place to meet up in the metro area. We're also going to continue with the homeschool co-op and try to get that implemented everywhere, because it's really a great opportunity to have a bunch of kids and families to gather together to have an opportunity to hear the good news. And we'll continue with the work up in Aguadilla that Pastor Maita is doing as well. So we'll just keep plugging along, keep looking for those opportunities and keep looking for those places where the Holy Spirit's leading us to plant churches.
And one student at university, what's the outlook for the family for the coming year?
So our son Noah is going to be a junior and Abigail will be a freshman and Jonah will be in seventh grade, and we'll keep plugging along as well, doing our schoolwork and getting our things done. And
how can we stay informed about the Lord's work in Puerto Rico and what's going on with the layman family?
You can follow our newsletter on staticadventures.wordpress.com. And that's largely a lot of pictures and a lot of short explanations about the work that's been going on over the last month or two.
Very good. We'll include that link in our program notes today as well with the podcast, so listeners can follow you there. And certainly we'll share your LCMS page as well, lcms.org/layman. We'll share that so folks can find the prayer card for you and stay informed and continue to include you in their prayers and learn how they can support the Lord's work in Puerto Rico as well. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. The Reverend Adam and Christine Layman serving the Lord in Puerto Rico. Thanks for being my guest.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.